Is it in you? Is He in you? I hope so. You know, as we talk about that, the Scripture is very clear. And when we talk about Gatorade, I love those commercials. You know, you see the athletes and they're out there sweating. And when they're out there and it really comes down to it, the stuff just starts pouring out. You know, it's red or grape or whatever it is. Gatorade, I love those commercials. Is it in you? What is in you? Because what's in you, when it really comes down to it, and you get worked up in life, it's going to come out of you. So I'm excited about starting this series called Is It In You? And the one thing I love about the Gatorade commercial, by the way, Gatorade was one of those things, and this isn't a commercial for Gatorade, but the Florida Gators came up with this drink years ago, an energy drink. And that's why it's called Gatorade, Florida Gators. And now you see it, and it's sold in the commercials as if you drink this stuff, you can run faster, jump higher, dunk the ball better. I've been drinking this stuff a long time. I want you to know that's false advertising because I'm not running any faster. I'm actually running a little slower. Gatorade, is it in you? You know, it's funny because they advertise it. If you have that in you, you're supposed to be a better athlete. I want to tell you some true advertising. If it's in you, you will live a better life. It's true when the Bible says, I know Pastor Kevin read for you Galatians. I want you to use that as a springboard this morning. Today, I want you to turn over to John chapter 15. Because what's inside of you is what's going to come out of you. And in John chapter 15, Jesus is talking to His disciples about, is it in you? The ultimate Gatorade or Godade. John chapter 15. He's speaking to them and He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the, help me out here, because of the Word. Because the Word of God in you, you're already clean. I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the true vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my, help me, words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. This is to my Father's glory, that you should bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. This morning when we look at that, the fruit of the Spirit, today I want to talk to you about the root of the fruit. Before we can talk about having the fruit of the Spirit, by the way, it's not the fruits of the Spirit. A lot of people say, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control, goodness, these things. Well, folks, it's only one tree that bears nine different fruit. It's not plural in the Bible. It's actually singular. Because there are some people who have a misunderstanding, and we'll just set this stage now before the next 9 weeks happen. There's a lot of people who think, well, I'll just take a little bit of love. I mean, we all want that fruit in our lives, don't we? We want to pick a little love and just hold on to that. But go over to the patience. How many of us are going, boy, I sure wish I had more patience. Well, we don't usually go there. Or we'll grab peace, but we won't grab self-control. Because we want some of the fruit, but we don't want all of the fruits. And it's not that way. If you have the tree, you're going to bear all of these fruit in your life. God calls us to that. But you won't bear any fruit if you don't have the root. And so today I want to talk about the root of our salvation, the root of the fruit, if we could. Jesus talks about it here. He says, apart from me, you can't do anything. And so we need to get established into this. A lot of people try to live their lives without the root. They try to just have the fruit in their lives. I'm a Christian, so I have this in my life. And what we tend to see is people trying to do things apart from God. And this morning I want to talk to you. If you don't have the root in your life, then you can't have the fruit. The problem is all of us are born with a bad root. We all have a root problem. And we need to, first of all, change the root to get the fruit. We have to change it to get it. We're all born, Pastor Kevin knows this, he's got three boys. He was talking about that. They're not in the nursery. Today's a good day in the nursery. I've got three boys. I remember those days. Those were a long, long time ago. I remember those days. When you have boys or kids, you don't have to teach them how to have bad fruit in their life because they have a root problem. In fact, all of mankind has a root problem. The Bible says we have the root of Adam, and what we need is the root of Jesse. Isaiah says the root of Jesse, a branch, a root is coming. And talking about the root of Jesse being Jesus, our Savior. We all have the root of Adam. The Bible says that we are all born in sin. In other words, our tree doesn't stand upright. Our tree looks like this. Do you know the Bible describes it that way? When I was in college, probably one of the best lessons I ever learned was how the root works. They were describing sin to us. And I remember our Greek professor, and he said, here is the word for sin, hamartia. And here's how sin works in your life. He said, every one of you need to be able to teach this in a congregation. Everyone has a root problem. And so he's got my attention. He said, when we're born, the Bible says we are born into sin. David said in the Psalm, surely from my mother's womb I was born a sinner. You don't have to teach kids that the tree is bent. And that's what he said. He said, class, when we're born, our righteousness is tilted towards unrighteousness. We are in the root of Adam. We are born. Adam, because of him, I have a seed in me. And it's called the Adamic sin, the original sin. Because Adam sinned, I have sinned. Do you know how much easier it is for people to live their lives? But what happens is, because we have the root of Adam in our lives, what happens is a lot of people try to be good, so they put their good stuff on, and they try to decorate the tree. The problem is, we're bent towards sin. Left to ourselves, we will make the wrong choices. And children will do that. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that a little boy or a little girl can lie, even when nobody has taught them how to lie. Or how someone will take the easier road of sin instead of the righteous road of doing what's good. So we have this bent. And it's interesting because Paul describes it. He says, because of Adam, the one man, all have sinned. And so we have this root problem. Here's the deal, though. Instead of dealing with the root problem and going right down to the heart of it, we decorate the tree. Because if we have a sin problem, Jesus says this, apart from me, you can bear no fruit. That's interesting. How many people that claim to be Christians that are trying to love and have peace and have patience and have kindness, do you know why they struggle with it? Because they've never dealt with the root problem. They're still dealing with themselves. You know, we can decorate the tree all we want. We can make the church look good. But if the church looks good, but it still doesn't have a good root, the church is not going to do anything good for God. He says, you can do nothing apart from me. And it's amazing to me how many people try to do things for God that don't really know God. And if you're saying to yourself, you know, I might be struggling with some of those things, I would ask, do you have a root problem? You want to bear these things in your life, but you're not. And you recognize that in your life. I remember going to Indiana Wesleyan, this university, and I was speaking at the college one day. And I was trying to explain to my students the idea of how so many people try to do good things on their own. And so we're in the lunchroom, and there's hundreds of students eating in this big cafeteria. And I pulled out my wallet, and I was going to describe this. So I pulled out my wallet, I grabbed a $50 bill, and one thing I know about students is that they all need money. And so I see someone going, yeah, I could use some now. I held up a $50 bill, and I said, I have $50 for the first person. And I mean students were jumping out of their seats. And they're looking at me all across the lunchroom. And the students are going, what are you doing? I said, watch this. This is going to be great. I said, who can stand up on a table, reach down, and lift themselves up? I just want some air time underneath your soles. And so kids are climbing up, college students, pre-med majors, criminal justice majors, theology majors, are reaching down, grabbing a hold of their shoes, and they're pulling. And I'm sitting back laughing. They go, what's so funny? I said, just watch.
And the students aren't quite catching on. He said, this is going to be great. They go, you're going to lose $50. I said, no, I'm not. You do it. I'll give it to you. And so I got students up there now doing this. It's impossible. You can't pick yourself up by your bootstraps. And human beings have been trying to make themselves good on their own for years. And they've got a root problem. We have a bent towards sin. We've got an earth problem. We are so stuck to this world in our sin that we can't get one inch to heaven without Jesus. We've got to have a root change. And when we get a change in our root, we will bear good fruit. And it's interesting that he talks about this because Jesus says the word for root in your Bible is a Greek word. It's the word rizu. Rizu is an interesting word. It simply means to spring out of, to come forth from, to bear. And it's interesting because if we've got a root problem, don't we need to get rid of that? Any of you that have ever done any gardening, you know if you get weeds, you don't just come and pluck the weeds. And yet, I think we do that as individuals. It's January 4th. I can't do a New Year's resolution. I'm horrible at resolutions. I just simply say, God help me, I can't do this. God didn't give me the Holy Spirit so that I could try harder. God gave me the Holy Spirit so I could give up and let Him do it in me. See, so many of you are going, I'm just going to try harder. I got $50 for you. Come on up. You can't do it. Otherwise, you would have done it. And you would have done it without Jesus. You would have done it without God. And all of mankind would be fine if we could have done it on our own. We can't do it on our own. And that's why God came to this world going, you got a root problem. And so you go out to your yard. My wife does this, and she's so good. She gets out there, and she's got her little spade and stuff, and she'll dig into those roots, and she'll get it right at the root, and so those weeds don't come back. And God says, if you turn in your Bible, just a couple chapters over, Jesus is actually praying for these guys. In chapter 17, he starts this prayer out, and he says, Father, we got a root problem. Now, that's not what your Bible says, so that's okay. But I'm sure he was implying it. Chapter 17, he looked up toward heaven and he prayed. Where did Jesus go for help? He went right to the Father. He didn't say, well, you know, let me figure this problem out. Let's see. Well, if you just had a little more money, a better job, if you just went to that 10-step program, you know, he just turned to God. He looked up to heaven. He says, hey, Dad, we need some help here. And he prays for his disciples. And look what he prays in chapter 17. This is great. Going over at verse 14, he says, I have given them your word. There it is again, your word. And the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. And here it is. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. See, Jesus is saying, look, I know you're going to have problems here, guys. My prayer isn't that you just to get rid of all the problems and put you in a utopia. My prayer is that you stay here, but we change the root. Watch what he says. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. And here it is. There's your word. Sanctify them by the truth. Your what? Word is truth. That word sanctify is the word for root, but it's a different word. Instead of root rizu, it's katha rizu in the Greek. Katha rizu is a great word. If I've got a root problem, I've got to get rid of the root so I can bear some good fruit. So my tree, my righteous things, I can bear and grow in God. I can grow in love in my life. What's in you? Well, my Bible tells me that there is nothing good in me. In fact, my Bible says this. Jesus' words, your righteousness is like filthy rags to God. That's an interesting picture. Not that you doing good things isn't good, but he says, apart from me, you're not spiritually making an impact. What you're doing is on the outside, and I want to do something on the inside. Now watch this. He says, sanctify them, Father. Katha rizu. Something to the root. Well, katha means to pluck out. You know what Jesus says here? He says, Father, pluck out the sin nature, the original sin that Adam gave every man, woman, and child. And to pluck that out, oh my goodness, God wants to do some gardening. No wonder why he says, I am the vine, my Father is the gardener. No wonder why God says he's going to come in and pluck out by the roots that's which is within you. And thank God that he plucks that out of our lives so that now we can have a root canal, a root change. We can have a new life. And he can now plant within us the fruit of the Spirit. God wants to plant within us, but he can't as long as we still have a root problem. You know, the church is full of this. Could you imagine there are 800 million Christians in the world? There might be, maybe, okay, come on. There's 400 of those 800 that are really Christians. Okay, there's 100 million of those 800 million that are, okay. There's 4,000 of those people that are really Christians. How many Christians are there? That's one in every five people on this planet claim to be a Christian. We've got a root problem. Because if I walked up and I said, oh, you're a Christian, look at you, what's in you? You would see love. You could walk up to that person and go, oh, what's in you? And I could find love, and I could find joy, and I could pluck from that, and I could find something good in his life, and I could say, I know I'm going to find love in his life. I know I'm going to find self-control. How many Christians you know that are completely out of control? How many Christians you know there's no love in their life? They're just ready to stab you in the back, and they're doing stuff. And I find people tell me, I don't want to go to church, Pastor. You can preach to me all you want. I used to go to church when I was younger, and I have seen church people. And I just shake my head. I said, I don't know what you've seen, but that's not church people. That might be church people, but those aren't Christians. I've seen those people. I've had people tell me, oh, I'm a Christian. When I got saved, I was saved for just a couple of days. And I went back to college and I told all my friends about Jesus. I said, I got Jesus. They're like, really, you got Jesus? I went over to Freddie's room. Freddie Franklin played basketball for the university. And I remember going over to his dorm room one day, and I'd only been a Christian, like I said, less than a week. And I walked in there and I said, hey, Freddie, I got saved. I got Jesus. And he was smoking a joint on his bed in his dorm room with a couple of guys. And after he took a hit, he said, you're a Christian? Me too. Here. And I went, oh, Christians can do that? Okay. And I jumped right in. What is a Christian? Was there love? Was there joy? Was there self-control? Was there patience? Was there anything bearing fruit? And I learned what Jesus taught his disciples. One day he's walking along and he is so hungry. He just got done performing some incredible miracles. And I can't imagine after doing visitation or going to a funeral home or going to a hospital and praying and praying and praying. And he walks out of there. He's so hungry with his disciples. And they're walking along. He goes, oh, look, guys, something to eat. And this is in your Bible. It says there's a fig tree. And they start walking over to the fig tree and they go, oh, figs, look at that thing. And it was in full bloom. And they walked over to that fig tree. And they got to the fig tree. And they started looking around. And there wasn't a single fig on the tree. He says, why isn't this tree has no figs on it? Looks like a fig tree. It's got the fig leaves, the fig flowers that bloom. It's in full bloom. It's by a watery area. The area that it was known for its springs and its fresh fruit. And the fig tree had no figs. Well, I did some research on that. I thought, well, that's strange. Why wouldn't the fig tree have figs on it? And why did Jesus curse it? Well, here's why. Because even though it looked like a fig tree, even though it was planted and it was healthy, even though it had the leaves and the flowers, and here's what it is. Jesus is hungry. He sees the tree, and many trees produce leaves and flowers simultaneously. But the fruit always follows the leaves. The nourishment provided by the sun via the leaves is necessary for the production of the fruit. Everything looks good. Figs appear to be the exception. Though in reality they are not. Fig trees produce flowers simultaneously with their leaves. But the flowers are encased in a fleshy protective covering which have the same shape as figs. That's interesting. Let me say that again. The leaves are encased in this fleshy kind of this coating, and they look just like the fruit. But they're leaves. They're not figs at all. So they walk up there and they go, oh, figs. They could see the figs. And they walk up and they go to grab them. They go, those aren't figs. Those are the leaves imitating figs. Are you following me? how many times it could be. You could be planted in a place that looks like you're producing fruit in your life. You can look like it. You can even encase it. You can cover it up. And you can look as good as you want. But the truth of the matter is there fruit in your life? Are you bearing? Is there love in your life? Or it only looks like love, which we call lust. Is there self-control in your life? Or is it just what we like to call to shut your mouth and don't say anything in your life? Is there peace in your life? Or do you just withdraw and don't talk to anybody? Is there anything in your life that's covering it up? And I think the church can be full. I think as a Christian, if I've got a root problem and I don't change the root, my fruit can look like Christianity, but am I bearing Christ to the world? It is so easy to fake Christ in the world. It really is. I could, as your pastor, be standing up here. I could actually fake it. I could pretend Christianity. I could preach the Word of God. I can do all of these things. And you say, well, he's a Christian. Look at that. The question that you have to look at is not how tall I stand or how eloquent I can speak. Pastor Kevin or the singers. It's not how loud they can sing. You know, it's funny that Jesus didn't say, you will know them if they speak in tongues. He didn't say that. Oh, you will know them if they can jump up and down and scream. Oh, that's a Christian. You will know them if they're on the board of their church. He didn't say any of that. He said, you will know them by their fruit. And you will know they are my disciples because they have love, because they have joy, because they have peace and kindness and goodness. That's what's in you. What is in you? I say, if you've never had a heart change, if you've never had a root change, you know what? We got to talk about the root before you can talk about the fruit. What's inside of you? Good springs bring forth good water, but bad springs can't bring forth good water. What's inside of you? Well, you've got to have the root. You've got to have that change in your life. It's interesting that 2 Timothy says this. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, guys, I got to tell you something. Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. There will be people who will be lovers of money and greedy and conceited. And he just goes down this whole list in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. And then he says this, they will have the form of godliness, but deny its power. Isn't that a scary thought? That people can imitate it. But you know, you could almost imitate anything. You know that? You could. People can imitate. I've found that in my life. I've spent my time pulling off practical jokes, and I'm just glad nobody was there to videotape half of it. I remember imitating a police officer one time. Not a good idea. In the middle of a riot. In Sioux City, Iowa. And I actually got away with it for a while. I've imitated walking through a mall. I've dressed up as a pregnant woman. I've dressed up as a mannequin. I've dressed up as a black man playing for the L.A. Lakers. I've dressed up, and I got away with it. I dressed up as a Foot Locker manager and went in and had them rearranging their shelves and stocking their shelves. Till I was kicked out of the mall for terrorist activities, is the quote. I said, how? Okay. You're thinking to yourself, how do we know he's really a preacher? Has anyone seen his degree? That's a good question. I guess you'll never know. That's why we're non-denominational. Nobody else would take him. Christ knows what your heart is. And you know what? Probably your spouse really does too, and your kids. Because when it really comes down to it, and you're sweating, and life hits you, like Gatorade, what's in you is going to come out. And what's in my heart is going to come out. And so not only do I need to change it, the root, but I need to charge it. Once I have it in me, I need to charge my heart. The Bible says, it says, this Word of God needs to remain in you. And it's the Word of God that changes you. And if the Word of God changes you, you'll bear much fruit. And much fruit, you'll be my disciples. And so the Word of God, is it in you? I have people ask me all the time, Pastor, you got to help me. I said, well, what's the problem? I'm struggling spiritually. And I'm going to say, I have never been wrong when I'll look and say, you're not in the Word, are you? How'd you know?
Because if the Word of God's not in you, I know one thing. I have a black thumb. My wife has a green thumb. If she goes on vacation or she goes away to her family's and she comes back, there's a good chance every plant in the house is dead. The kids, I'm good with the kids. I'm not good with the plants. The kids can go hungry and I can feed them, okay? Plants don't say anything. It's so hard to remember. Oh, yeah, water that thing. That's right, nutrients and whatever else. And you put the sticks in them, the ground, the things, the stuff, supplements. I wouldn't know because I'm not real good at that. I'm not good at the planting thing. She's real good. She's reminded. You know, those things have to have a regular to feed the root. I did a study. I've got some stuff here. I'm not going to read it to you, but it's here. And it talks about the importance of the roots and the nutritions that go into the root, and it's in direct correlation to the fruit. And so as I was reading that, I went, this is perfect. I accidentally got on this website about avocados in California. And I thought, I don't care about avocados. And then I read for an hour about avocados in California. I'm ready to open up an avocado plant. And the nutrients and what it takes. And everything in it says the importance of science in the root and the nutrients that suck in and soak in all the stuff it needs, takes it up and directly affects the fruit. And I thought, isn't that just like God? The effect and how much you are in the Word of God directly affects the fruit that you produce in your life. And if you are not in the Word of God and the Word of God's not in you, no wonder why Jesus said, if you remain in me, and I in you. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. No wonder why the Bible says it's a living word, living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. No wonder why it says, if anyone will meditate on this word, he will be like a tree planted by streams of living water, Psalm chapter 1, whose leaf never withers, who yields his fruit in season and out of season. I love the idea. Kevin shared it with the first service that this is orange season, orange time down in Florida. And when they live down, they go pick oranges. It's not orange time in Michigan. But the Bible tells me, I don't care what's going on in your life. The Bible says, if you are in the Word and you remain in me and I in you, he says, you will produce fruit. You will find love when people hate. You will find goodness when people are mean. You will find patience when the world is falling apart. And they'll look at you and they say, how do you have oranges in the middle of February in Michigan? And you say, come on over and pick some of the fruit. I have a root system that goes so deep into God that I produce fruit in all seasons of my life. That's what God wants to do in us and through us. And the problem is, some of us may just have the root problem. The other problem is some of us aren't charging it. Some of us aren't getting the nutritions into our lives. And so that Greek word, rizou, to spring out of, to sprout out, to come out of. Isn't that a great word? God wants to plant something in you. What's in you? I love the Gatorade commercials, but I will never sweat orange Gatorade. If I do, I quit. I was trying to explain this to a group of teenagers at a leadership conference one year of how when Christ is in you, He is going to come out of you. If you have a root, you will have the fruit. God will come out of you. Love will come out. I want, in my life, when I'm shaken up, when things happen, I want to make sure that good stuff comes out of my life. I don't want to have to lose it. I don't want to have a situation where stress and finances, our children, hits my marriage, that I do what's typical in life. And you guys know what I'm talking about? What? We can't do? And boom. What I want to have happen is when life shakes me up and the bills are coming in or something's happening with the kids or life is just happening, I want to be able to look at my wife. I want her to know that when I get shaken up, that what spills out of my life is not a mantra of mean words. I want to have come out of my life a mantra of love and joy and peace. And you say, does that happen? Hardly ever. I'm not going to be up here and tell you some kind of pipe dream that I've got it all together. But I do know this. It wasn't very much later. The disciples were walking along and Jesus had been performing his ministry. And they came up to that tree again. And Peter goes, hey, Lord, read this in your Bible. It's in there. He says, hey, isn't that fig tree you cursed? And they walked up to it and they go, yeah, that's the one I cursed. And he walks up to it and he looks at it and he says, the root of it was withered. It had no root. And then he turns and he says, I want to tell you guys a story about a fig tree. A farmer planted a fig tree. They're all going, you can just see him. Is this going to be one of those life lessons? Oh, yeah, you better pay attention. Get your pen out. He planted this fig tree, and for 2 years it grew, and it had no fruit. And the owner came along and said to this guy, this fig tree's no good. I want you to get rid of it. The manager of the orchard for him. He said, I want you to get rid of it. It's bearing no fruit. And the manager says, oh, please, please, just give me one more year. I love this. He said, one more year. I'll give you one more year. But if I come back and in one more year there's no fruit, I'm cutting it down and throwing it into the fire. I want that land for a good fruit tree. And you know what he was saying? Those of you that are still working on barren fruit, give you another chance. But know this, I really want the space for good stuff. God is patient with us all the time. And I was trying to explain to these students one time that what God's trying to do in us is to have it in us so that when we get shaken up in the world, good stuff's going to come out. And so I grabbed a Pepsi and I explained to them, life is going to shake you up. Something's going to happen and you're not sure how it's going to turn out. As I did that, it just began to fizz. As it began to fizz, I said, you know, you need to understand. And I started doing this. I started using it at seminars all over the place until one day when I was speaking to about 200 teenagers, things went bad. And I was telling them, I said, you need to understand, somebody's going to throw something to you and life is just going to go bad. And sometimes you're just going to miss it. And I let it hit the ground. And I thought, oh boy, it's ready just to explode. And then I got a brilliant idea. And as I was doing this, letting it drop, I took it and I threw it down on the ground. And it bounced back up into my hand. I said, that was pretty cool. And I was explaining that what's inside here, the ingredients are already inside of here. Life just needs to shake it up and what's in here is going to come out. And Christ has already put in me this. And as I was doing this, I'm bouncing it. I'm doing this and it's coming up and the kids are like, do it again. And I'm up on the stage and I threw it down that one last time. And it never happened in all the seminars and it did this time. I threw it down and it exploded. And the whole front row got soaked. The chairs were still clean, but there was a little outline. The guitars and the amps had pop everywhere. And I thought, wow. That was amazing. I don't think I can do that again. And I told my wife, I'd like to do that today, but I really don't want anybody in here getting pop all over me. So I said, I don't know how many times I can do it before it explodes, because I got to the point where I actually thought, I bet I can make this explode if I hit it just right on the edge. And I thought, no, I don't need to do that. I just need to open it up. Because all this needed was the world to shake it up. And what was inside was just ready to burst forth. Christ has already planted within me His love and His goodness. He has planted within me His life. He is the vine. I'm just a branch. And He's planted within me a good root. And when the world shakes me up, I guarantee you Christ ought to come out if He's in me. And I want you to know, it's already in you if you have Christ. You just need to nurture it so that when life happens, the good stuff comes out instead of the bad stuff. Let's stand and pray.